Hey everyone, it is Stacy in Cardiff. The Oxford English Dictionary defines the word doommonger as chiefly depreciative, a person who predicts disaster or misfortune. In case anyone's curious about how we spend our time here on The Indicator.
Of course, the more informal Urban Dictionary has a different definition. It defines doommonger as, quote, possibly the most annoying kinds of people that one can think of.
Oh!
Poor doommongers, they're already mongering doom, and now they're annoying on a very extreme scale. Basically, doommongers, you know, they're people who are always portending terrible things, seeing the worst in everything. Everything's going down the tubes. Things are getting worse. You know, the apocalypse is on its way.
We don't want to be that.
No.
We don't want to be annoying. We don't want to be doommongers.
Trouble
not intentionally, at least.
Economics is like has a strong doommonger section.
Makes it hard not to be a doommonger, especially in the first 3 months of this year when some important indicators about the U.S. economy really were disappointing, especially those indicators about people's jobs, about how much money they spend, and also about how the economy and the rest of the world was doing.
And, you know, economists were not really saying that we were going to go into a recession or anything like that. But, you know, the chances of us going into a recession or things starting to slow down did seem to be climbing.
But
in the last month, economic indicators have improved. They've not quite improved to the point where we can say that everything, you know, is awesome.
Like in the Lego song?
Like in the Lego song.
We can at least play the song, though.
But I think we can say that everything is not awesome, right? Curtis is very reluctant to be overly optimistic.
The word awesome makes me nervous.
Today on The Indicator from Planet Money, we are going to share three trends that are making us feel not awesome about the economy so far this year. And, you know, so that you cannot accuse us of being doommongers, or at least you can't accuse me of being a doommonger. Cardiff's another story.
Open to the accusation. Everything is cool
and you're part of the team. Everything is awesome.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Snowflake, the only data warehouse built for the cloud. Unlock deep data insights with the instantly scalable cloud-built data warehouse. Start your journey towards data-driven decision-making at snowflake.com/NPR. Support also comes from NPR sponsor LinkedIn Jobs. When it's time to hire for your small business, you want to find the right person for the job. LinkedIn Jobs can help. Learn more at linkedin.com/indicator. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, three feel-good-ish indicators to lighten the mood.
Ish. Yeah, ish. There we go. There we go. There's the Cardiff Garcia I know.
Exactly. First up, initial jobless claims. Unemployed workers are, of course, eligible for unemployment insurance benefits. And when an unemployed worker first files for those benefits, it's called an initial jobless claim. The Labor Department keeps track of how many initial claims are made from week to week.
And in a strong economy, you would expect the number of initial jobless claims to be falling. Because if a lot of jobs are available, then fewer people should be filing for unemployment benefits. But in the last few months of 2018, up until February of this year, the number of initial jobless claims had actually been going up. And we were concerned because when jobless claims are going up, it means that there are some parts of the labor market where people are struggling to find jobs. So, you know, they're filing for unemployment. But that is not happening anymore.
No, it isn't. Not anymore. Initial jobless claims have been plummeting since February.
Because everything is not awesome.
Oh, that's going to be a theme throughout this whole episode, isn't it? According to the most recent update, there have been 201,250 initial jobless claims per week in roughly the past month. That is the lowest level in almost 50 years. And it is also today's first Planet Money indicator. And most importantly, it's a sign that the labor market is still in very good shape.
Okay, reason number two that the economy is not awesome, our next feel-good-ish indicator of the moment.
Thank you.
1.6%. Retail sales were 1.6% higher in March than they were in February. And that was a strong number, stronger than economists had even expected. And retail sales are basically what they sound like. You know, it's things that we buy, you know, from stores or online or at dealerships, like cars and furniture and clothes and all that kind of thing.
Interestingly enough, also includes bar tabs.
Yes, Cardiff, interesting that you point this out.
I do know
that,
yes.
It is true, though. Retail sales numbers also include what people spend at bars and restaurants under a category called food services and drinking places. very snappy little name.
Bars.
And, you know, in a growing economy, retail sales should also be growing from month to month and from year to year. Because as the economy grows, people get jobs and make more money, and so they can buy more stuff, more retail goods. But from last July all the way up until February of this year, retail sales were basically flat.
And it really still is not clear what was going on. Because during most of those months, wages were still growing at an increasing pace. People were getting bigger raises at work. They just were not spending more on retail goods. And the worry was that if that trend had continued, or even if it had gotten worse, if people had started spending even less money, then it could hurt the economy. Because remember, if people are not spending money, then eventually companies will make less stuff to sell, which in turn means that companies don't need as many workers, and they might even start laying off those workers.
But things changed in March, when retail sales finally started growing again. And even though, you know, we have only 1 month of growth that we are looking at right now, at least, you know, this stopped the trend of flat retail sales. And it could be a sign that maybe, just maybe, Americans are ready to go shopping again. Not awesome,
Which would make things even more not awesome.
Exactly.
I'm like losing track of the double negative there.
Well, you know.
Finally, here is the third indicator that suggests things aren't quite as bad as people had feared earlier this year. 3.3%. That is how much the global economy is expected to grow this year, according to the latest estimates from the International Monetary Fund. Now, that is a slower pace of growth than last year, but we were still relieved because given just how much the global economy was slowing at the end of last year, the estimates for this year could have been even worse than they ended up being.
Instead, the IMF economists now say that they actually expect the global economy to improve in the second half of the year and into next year. And the reason is that policymakers in a lot of different countries, like the central banks and the politicians, have been responding to the global slowdown by taking steps to keep their economies stimulated.
And this matters. Global economic growth does matter for the U.S. economy. When the rest of the world has a strong economy, it means that people abroad will buy more products made by American companies. And those American companies can then better afford to keep hiring American workers to make those products. So there it is. Three indicators that the U.S. economy is in less danger of falling into a recession than people thought just a couple of months ago.
Three not awesome indicators.
Yeah, as Stacey likes to say, three not awesome indicators. And in fact, in the past couple of months, economists and other forecasters have raised their estimates for how fast the U.S. economy is now growing.
And we should say, Cardiff, as a nod to, you know, all
to
the
me,
doom mongers
to your
out
co-host.
There, you know, there are still a few parts of the economy that do not look so great. Some not awesome parts of the economy. And maybe the best example here is the housing market, which has been sluggish for more than a year now. But guess what?
Yeah.
We found out just yesterday that in March, people bought new houses at the fastest pace of any month since November of 2017.
Yep.
Not awesome. So, you know, there you go, Cardiff. Not awesome yet again.
Yeah, even I was breathing a sigh of relief on that number. It's true that just because the odds of a recession have gone down does not mean that everything's awesome. But it also does mean, in a nod to my co-host, that everything is not catastrophic either. And that, folks, is about as optimistic as I am comfortable getting around here. Okay?
You know, it's economics. Optimism is just not in
part
the
of the game,
usually.
Yeah.
This episode was produced by our very optimistic producer, Constanza Gallardo, and edited by Patty Hirsch. Our fact checker is Willa Rubin, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Everything is awesome when we live our dream.
Also, just to tack something on here, a quick footnote for the wonky types out there, just so we don't get emailed about this, because I know you're firing up your laptops right now, okay? For the initial...
That's not defensive.
For the initial jobless claims, we are using the four-week moving average. And even though it's true that initial weekly claims are at their lowest point in about 50 years, it is also the case that the requirements to qualify for unemployment insurance benefits have changed. So the comparison across all 50 of those years is not perfect.
If you want more from the Planet Money universe, you should subscribe to our newsletter. It's fun. It's free. It goes in your email every week. To subscribe, you can go to npr.org/planetmoneynewsletter. One word. That's npr.org/planetmoneynewsletter.